All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And I want to speak one more time from the Christmas story as it is told in the Gospel of Luke. And I'll read the story to you, and then I'll just go ahead and tell you, verse 10 is my text verse. It is where I plan to take the message this morning. So let's begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse, down through verse 18. All right, down through verse 18. So 1 to 18, you follow along in your Bible. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack there in front of you. You may feel free to use that one and follow along as I read. In verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." That's all the Roman world. All right, the world was to be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. They made known abroad, notice that, the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, if you'll go back to verse 10, let me read verse 10 once again. And this is where I'm going to take my message from this morning. In verse 10, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I want to speak to you this morning a message that I've entitled, "Good Tidings of Great Joy." Good tidings of great joy. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we thank you for what you have revealed to us in the Word of God about the birth of our Savior. Certainly, what is here cannot be found in the writings of men, but it is found in the Word of God. And we thank you so much for what you have told us about that wonderful night in which the Son of God was born in Bethlehem's manger. And thank you, Father, for the message that we have here about the word that was given to the shepherds. And Father, I pray you'll bless it this morning as we think about what the angel of the Lord had to say to them. And may it encourage us and challenge us to be a better witness and to take these good tidings of great joy and share them with people in the days to come. So, Father, I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me this morning and just bless the message to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things, and amen. Well, I trust that everyone had a very merry and joyous Christmas. I thank the Lord for this time of the year. You know, the joy that fills our hearts at this time of the year is so refreshing. And I think it would be good if somehow or another we could just encapsulate it, just kind of get a handle on it and capture it and keep it with us as we start through the rest of the year. I love Christmas time. It's my favorite time of the year, and I know a lot of folks feel the same way. But the story that we have before us this morning is kind of reflects how we feel about the Christmas season. You'll notice that there was an announcement that was given to the shepherds. And this announcement of good tidings comes to the shepherds from a very special person. If you will look at your Bible in verse 9, it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord." Now, I'm sure that you've recognized that phrase, "the angel of the Lord." Every time you see that phrase in the Bible, "the angel of the Lord," that is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we call a Christophany, Christ appearance. An epiphany is an appearance. And Christophany, an appearance of Christ. And you'll remember back through the Old Testament, there were many times when the angel of the Lord appeared and made an announcement. Well, here we are in Luke 2, and here are the shepherds out just a few miles away, not even that far, just a little ways out the ridge from Bethlehem in the fields of Boaz, and they are watching over their flocks, and the angel of the Lord shows up with an announcement. And this angel of the Lord is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, I want you to imagine that, folks. Think about that for just a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ himself announced his own birth. Isn't that amazing? The Lord himself announced his own birth to these lowly shepherds. Now, you just put yourself out in those shepherds' fields. It's pitch dark. And all of a sudden an angel shows up and makes an announcement. And you will notice the Bible said that when this angel made the announcement, it scared them to death. Well, it would have scared me to death too. And if you were honest, it would put the fear in you as well. But you will notice here that when the night sky lit up with the host of heaven and it frightened the shepherds, their fear was quickly calmed with the words from the angel of the Lord that they were not to fear. You see, the angels did not come to instill fear, but to announce to the world what the world had been waiting to hear ever since Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, which is recorded for us in Genesis chapter 3. You see, that announcement was letting the world know that the Redeemer, that God promised Adam was coming had indeed finally come. They were, the angel of the Lord was announcing his own advent into this world. The announcement they brought to the shepherds was the great news that God had provided the way for all men to be rightly related to God. The announcement made the news, or gave the news, that God had provided a redeemer for mankind. After 4,000 years of time, through the promise of the prophets, through the wrath of the flood, through picture, through type, through grace and the fulfillment of each and every Old Testament picture and promise, God had finally given us his promised Redeemer. And that's the announcement that was made. And I want you to notice how the Lord Jesus described himself as the gift of God to bring salvation to mankind. He said in the announcement that what he had to say was good tidings of great joy. Look at the middle of verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Man, I think that's what the world needs today, don't you? I turned on my computer during Sunday school and looked at the news headlines, and there's another Indonesian airplane that's disappeared. They think it's crashed. They found some wreckage. And then I click down to the next story, and there's over 1,000 teenagers that rushed into a mall in Pittsburgh yesterday, and World War III broke out in that mall. Teenagers went into went nuts, and just everybody started beating everybody up. And I just kept going down. Bad news, bad news, bad news. I said, is there one good news story anywhere on this website? And I couldn't find any. I couldn't find any. But I got some good news for you this morning. The Redeemer has come. I got some good news for you. That's exactly what the world today needs to hear. Some good tidings of great joy. And folks, this was the message the world needed to hear 2,000 years ago. If you go back and look at the world when Christ was born, the world was much like it is today. It was a mess everywhere. Everything was just a mess. And the announcement was made, and when it was, the angel of the Lord said it was good tidings of great joy. And that's the same message that the world needs to hear today. So I want to talk about this message of good tidings of great joy. There are three things that I want you to notice about this message this morning. First of all, the message is indeed a good message. It is a good message. Folks, what the angel of the Lord announced here, the birth of the Savior, I'm telling you, that's the best news that a world full of sinners on their way to hell could have ever gotten. The message of that the Redeemer had come. He said, I bring you good tidings. Well, I took the dictionary and I looked up the word tidings. It's really an interesting word. Old Noah's dictionary, Noah Webster. And I looked up what Noah had to say about it. And he said that the word tidings is an old Anglo-Saxon word which simply means news. News. It is the revealing of something that was before unknown. It is the revealing of something that before men did not know, but now the news had been revealed. That it is the unveiling of something that was not previously known before. And certainly men knew that the promise of the Redeemer had come, but the Redeemer had not yet come. And so here was the angel of the Lord making the announcement to the shepherds, that which they had no knowledge of prior. And the reason is because the Savior was just born that night. And so the announcement could finally be made that the Redeemer had come. Now here's another little interesting thing that Mr. Noah had to say. He said, the four little words, bring you good tidings, actually means I evangelize. I evangelize. Now, you know what it means to evangelize, right? To evangelize means to go soul winning. To go soul winning. Isn't that something? On the night that the Savior of the world was born, the Savior himself stepped out of heaven and went soul winning on the fields of Boaz, where the shepherds were watching over their flock. I find that amazing, folks. That is just something special. The Lord Jesus himself showed us the way as believers in going and telling the story of redemption that he provided for us. Oh, he would win multitudes of folks to himself in his lifetime, and he would save multiplied thousands upon thousands during his 3.5 years of earthly ministry. And then once he went to the cross and died and was buried and resurrected and then ascended back to heaven, in the last 2,000 years, multiplied millions would be saved by putting their faith in him. But these shepherds were the first ones to hear the message of good tidings, and they were the first ones to believe. And the amazing thing is, he was the one who told them. You say, Pastor, that's really something, isn't it? Yes, it is. But folks, think about it. Our Lord would not ask us to do what he is not willing to do. And he was willing to tell the story, and that's why he's asking us now to tell the story. He led these shepherds to himself. And we read it just a moment ago. They went out that very night and showed the fruits of their repentance by telling everyone they met what had happened to them on that cold winter's evening. No tidings are better than the news that Christ has come to save our souls. And folks, that's the message that we are still commissioned today to proclaim. You see, we're all sinners. And man, we need some good news about that. We need some good news about that. And as sinners, we stand in need of a Savior. And that is the good tidings message that still rings out of heaven. Folks, here's the message. Here's the good news. You can be saved from your sin. We have a Redeemer. He came 2,000 years ago, born in Bethlehem's manger. This message was not just for these few shepherds that were out there that night, but it is for all people. It is for you and it is for me. And you know, as I said the other night, that the world's focus today at Christmas time is on everything and anything other than the true message of Christmas. It's on trees and lights and presents and parties, and sadly, the world misses the message of Christmas. Folks, the message of Christmas is the good tidings that the Savior has come. And we don't have to die in our sin and be eternally separated from God. And it is that message that we now have a Redeemer sent as God's gift by which our sins can be forgiven and we can have a relationship with God Almighty and we can have an eternal home in heaven with Him. Man, that's pretty good news if you ask me. We don't have to die and go to hell, folks. That's pretty good news if you ask me. But then there's a second thing I want to say about this message. Not only is the message a good message, man, everybody needs it. You know, if everybody needs something, then that something must be good. Right? If everybody needs it, it must be good. But there's a second thing I want you to notice about this. Secondly, the message is not only a good message, it's a glad message. You can't help but notice that as you read verse 10. He said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Good tidings of great joy. Joy. The Lord Jesus is the greatest source of joy you will find in this world today. People try to find joy through a lot of things. They try to find it through money. Money doesn't bring joy. They try to find it through success. And success doesn't bring joy. They try to find it through the bottle, through drinking. They try to find it through power or through drugs or any number of other sources, but there is no greater joy for time and for eternity than knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and to know that your sins are forgiven. There's no greater joy than that. Back before I was saved, I used to have a great time partying with my friends and doing things that I thought were going to bring me happiness and I thought were going to bring me joy. But then when the party's over, you got to deal with the guilt, don't you? And then when the party's over, there's the hangover. And then when the party's over, there's the shame that always follows the sin. Oh, it's there every time. But with receiving God's salvation, there is an eternal, everlasting joy that you get that you'll never get over. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 4:4, Paul said this. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Now take your Bible and look at verse up when you get home. Rejoice in the Lord always. You say, "Pastor, you forgot to put an S on the end of always." No, I didn't. No, that's an old English word that was spoken on purpose. Rejoice in the Lord always. And the idea is rejoice in the Lord all the way through life. No matter what, you rejoice in the Lord. And so let me remind you that Paul wrote these words while he was in prison. While he was in prison, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And you know, back when Paul was in the prison, he didn't have color TV and 400 channels. When Paul was in prison, he did not have a dietitian on staff at the prison to make sure that he got 3 square meals a day. When Paul was in prison, he did not have a heating and air conditioning system and a Sealy Posturepedic mattress. No, when Paul was in prison, they threw him down in a hole, and if he was lucky, if there was anything left over, somebody threw a heel of bread into his hole at night, and he had to beat the rats to get it. And yet he could say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. You see, this shows us that the joy, listen to me now, the joy that we receive from the Lord does not depend upon our circumstances, but it is dependent instead upon our faith. Have we or have we not trusted in the Lord Jesus for salvation? You see, folks, that is the key to the gladness of His message. We must receive Christ as our Savior, and then the joy will follow. His joy, the joy of His salvation, that's the only joy that will last in this old world we live in, folks. Now, you just think about it. Man, Christmas was Thursday. And already folks are planning about, and probably some have already taken the tree down and packed it up and put it away for another year. And the presents have all been opened. And the joy of another Christmas in just a few days, if it's not already over, is going to be over. The new toys and will soon lose their initial excitement. And before long, they'll be stuck in a closet or shoved under a bed or put down in the basement or out in the garage or out in the outbuilding. And it'll all soon be over. There is joy that comes from things. But the joy that comes from sins forgiven is carried throughout life. And circumstances aren't going to change it, and sickness won't change it. Even death cannot diminish it, for the Bible says to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. So that joy will never leave you. Never leave you. You know, I have never met a single person in my Christian life, and I've been saved since October of 1970, and I have never met a single person in that amount of years who has ever said to me, "Pastor, I am so sorry I got saved." Nobody's ever said that to me. No, you get saved, you don't regret it. There's just a joy about getting saved. I remember going to church on that Sunday morning that I got saved, and man, my heart was under conviction. The Lord had been dealing with me. And I told my mother, "I'm not going back anymore." She said, "Why not?" And I said, "Because that preacher knows everything about me. He just stands up there and names all my sin. I'm not going back. He doesn't like me." And so it came time to go to church, and I went. And I sat back there and listened to him tell everything I'd ever done for the last 6 months. You ever been in church and then you start looking around to make sure there are other people there because you thought you were the only one there? Well, that's how I felt. And finally, on the fifth stanza of "Just As I Am," I walked down that aisle and got on my knees. And Gary Lane, the youth pastor who is now missionary in Mexico, Gary Lane came over and took a Bible and showed me from the Bible how to get saved. And when I got saved, the moment I finished praying and stood to my feet, here's what I did. I went, "Whew." Because you see, the burden was gone. And I got a joy in my heart that I never felt before. And by the way, I've still got it. Amen. It never leaves you. Amen. I've seen people react 1,000 different ways getting saved. I've preached a lot of revival meetings through the years, and I've been down south, and folks will walk down the aisle and get saved, and then they'll get up and just run laps around the building. You ever seen that? I've seen that. I told you about that one old gal. She's a big old gal. She got saved, and she lifted up her head. As soon as she saw me, I started backing up. I knew I was in trouble. She latched onto me, and it was just, you know, telepathically, she just let me know I was in trouble. I started moving away. Didn't do a bit of good. Up on the platform she came, just came like, "Oh, praise the Lord." Arms out like this, reached down and grabbed me, picked me up off the floor. Oh, my, about died. Just embarrassed me to death. Just shook me everywhere. It was awful. I've seen all kinds of reactions. But brother, let me tell you something. Reaction, that doesn't matter. What matters is that you get it in your heart. Amen. See, get it in your heart. I have had so many people say, oh, well, I think I'm going to heaven. Really? Why do you think that? Well, I've been a Baptist all my life. Well, brethren, being a Baptist does not make you a Christian. That does not save you. Oh, well, I think I'm going to heaven. I've really tried. But trying is not what it's all about. Folks, we're talking about a relationship here. And there's a difference between religion and a relationship. Can we do something this morning? Can we just do something? Listen, I don't care if you're a longtime member or this your first time ever and you've already vowed you're never coming back again. That's fine. But would you just listen right now for a moment? And can we try something? Can we take religion, and we've all got a little extra wrapping paper left over from Christmas. Let's just wrap up religion and just lay it over here for a minute and forget about it, okay? Can we do that? Let's take, you ready? Oh, this is going to shock you. Let's take church and let's just wrap it up, put a little bow on it and set it over here for a minute and forget about it. Let's take, oh, this one's going to rattle you, denomination. Let's just take your denomination, regardless of what it is, and let's wrap it up in a nice little package, put a bow on it, and take denomination and just set it over here with religion and church, and then let's turn our back on it. Now quit trying to look over my shoulder and see it. We're going to forget about it for a minute. You say, well, why are you doing that? Here's why I'm doing it. Because there are far too many people that are trying to get into heaven from that. And it's not going to get you there. Now, you've been lied to by some icicle up in front of the church telling you that that's how you get there. That's not how you get there. You listen, here's what the Bible says. You ready for this? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Well, it means to talk to Him. And if you're talking to somebody, you're establishing a relationship. Bingo. Probably shouldn't say bingo in church, but bingo. You get the point, don't you? All right, so you got you back to all this. Now, don't look at it. Don't look at it. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't look at this. I'm going to ask you a question. All right, everybody listen to me. Should you die right now? Now, don't do it. Don't anybody do it. But should you die right now? Do you know? For sure, 100%, no questions, no doubts. Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Now, wait a minute, don't look at this. Don't look at this. This doesn't count. This was designed by men. Salvation was designed by God. You with me? Now, don't look at this. Now, answer my question. Do you know? He said, well, I don't think it's possible for a man to know. Well, this says it is possible. Now, again, you look at that, that will tell you it's not possible. But don't look at that. Look at this. You with me? That'll preach right there. I wish I'd have done this in the first service. You with me, folks? Relationship. Relationship. You want His joy? You want the good tidings of great joy? This is where you get it. in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Number three, I got to hurry. Number three, the message is a global message. It's a global message. It's not only good, it's not only glad, but number three, it's a global message. Look at your verse. We shall be to all people. You get an English dictionary and look up the word all, means all. You say, well, I wonder what the Greek means. All. Just means all. This message is for me. It's for you. I mean, it's for all of us. I noticed last week, 2 weeks ago when we were in Israel, there were people there from all over the world. There was a big bus full of people from Nigeria. They did the same tour we did, basically. Every time we stopped, got off the bus, they were coming out of the site, and we went into it. There were folks there from Japan and South Korea and China. There were folks there from Mexico and Portugal and Russia and Brazil. I mean, the good tidings about Jesus coming to the earth is for all people. That wonderful news was not just for the shepherds, but it was for everyone. Can I remind you that the Lord Jesus would later say to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world. Yeah. That's everybody. God's love is a global love. God's message of salvation is a global message. All through the Bible, through the New Testament, the Bible says, he who hath an ear, let him hear. And now because the message is the same good tidings for all men, that is why the way to God is the same for all men. And all of these over here, they're all different. But the way to God is the same one message, one faith, one Lord. That's it. Over here, you got all kinds of things wrapped up. And never will they agree with each other. But boy, right here, we got full agreement that there's one way. One way. Let me give you another verse. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Here it is, simple. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does it mean to call? To talk to. You say, well, I joined the church 32 years ago. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say anything in there about joining the church. Oh, well, I was baptized. Nope, that ain't in there either. Well, I wrote a big check last year. Nope, not there. Sorry. You see, all that's wrapped up over here. You ain't supposed to be looking at it. You weren't supposed to be looking over my shoulder at that. We're talking about a relationship. We do not need a different gospel for different races. We do not need a different gospel for different nationalities. There is only one gospel, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that one gospel is good enough for anybody who would call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. What you got to do is just call. You know, the Lord Jesus showed this in his ministry. He showed that the gospel was for all men. Here in our text, the shepherds heard the message. Then you keep reading the gospels and you'll see fishermen got saved. And then you keep reading the gospel and tax collectors got saved. And then you keep reading the gospels and women got saved. Even a demon-possessed woman by the name of Mary Magdalene got saved. And then you keep reading and religionists got saved, Pharisees. You keep reading, and there were some men from Greece who came searching for the Savior, and they got saved. And then Roman centurions got saved. And even a woman from Lebanon, the Bible calls her a Syrophoenician woman. And then there was an old Luke who was a doctor. And then there was Matthew. Matthew worked for the IRS. Yeah, there's hope for even tax people. Paul was a Pharisee. The list just goes on and on. Why? Showing us that the gospel's for everybody. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. And if the gospel was good enough for them, then my friend, it's good enough for you, and it's good enough for me. Don't you find it strange that we are still celebrating 2,000 years after the fact, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's gift to the world? We're still celebrating it. Why? Because that message still needs to be told. Man, we live in a world filled with bad news. The world has done its best to get Christ out of Christmas, but we have all got to come face to face with the fact that the reason for the season is still the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you, dear friend? Have you called upon the Lord and allowed the good tidings of great joy to reach your heart? You see, what may be the problem is you think this is what the joy, the message of joy is all about. And all this has done is just make you miserable. All this has done is put a bunch of restrictions and a bunch of weight on your shoulders, and you've chafed under that. What you need to do is just leave that wrapped up over in the corner and work on a relationship with Jesus. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a relationship. And there's a world of difference between relationship and religion. I'll take the relationship any day of the week. And I'd like to offer that relationship to you.